All right, we're going to get right into our study, and there is a little mystery to the title. I'll solve that mystery to start off with. Does the dog rob the gospel? That's shorthand. Dog is D-O-G, dispensation of the gospel. So the full title, I didn't have room for the whole thing, so does a dispensation of the gospel rob the gospel from the dispensation of the grace of God? I've heard it said that it's more like a criticism, actually, that we don't have a gospel in today's dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God, because the gospel was given in the dispensation of the gospel back in, before the end of Romans, or before the beginning of Philippians, before the prison epistles. It was given in 1 Corinthians, written about in Acts 19 time period. So we do have a gospel of salvation, and I'm going to show the verses. We're going to start with three sets of verses, two or three verses each, that are loaded with information about it, and then we'll get into discussion about it. The references first are 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18, chapter 9, verses 17 and 18. Secondly is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And thirdly, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. So let's just go ahead and read those. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 17 and 18. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Gospel of Christ is defined in, described, I should say, I guess, in Romans 1:16 as being the gospel of salvation, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Well, we don't have that stipulation in our gospel, in the gospel of the grace of God, during a dispensation of the grace of God. No, we don't have that. They did. In that earlier dispensation. So let's go and find out about the second grouping of verses talking about the dispensation of the grace of God. Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 3. For this cause, let me just check, do I have sound? Looks like it's going on and off, off and on. Is there sound now? You can hear? Okay, good. Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. And you can tell there in the wording of that dispensation of the grace of God, it's a flowing. It's not a static thing. It's a flowing thing. Which is given me to you word. Came from Christ to Paul, Paul to us, and us to faithful men who shall teach others also. So it's a flowing thing. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. As I besought thee, this is Paul talking to Timothy, about those that Timothy was mentoring or discipling, leading. Discipling is more in terms of the 12 apostles and Israel, but it's the idea, I think, is there to like Paul said, be ye followers of me. They would. That's the definition of a disciple, is to be a follower. One of the definitions. I'm getting off the track. Let's get back here. 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 to 5. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. So this commandment he's talking about is not Moses' commandments or Israel's commandments. He's talking about the commandment he just gave. We just read it in text. Charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So do. So, but the point here is the word edifying is the same word as dispensation. Let me go back. In fact, Paul links the edifying to the teaching. Both Paul and Timothy are to do teaching, but they're to teach no other doctrine, and they're to teach their followers to teach no other doctrine. So let me read it again. You can see how edifying is tied to teaching, or teaching tied to edifying. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than edifying, dispensing, or administering. Edifying, which is in faith, so do. They're to teach, which edifies, in other words. If you leave out that negative first middle part, teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions. Read it without that. It says that thou mightest charge some that they teach, and then they're to minister. They're to minister godly edifying, which is in faith. So, all right, well, we'll get into that more specifically in a bit here. In 1 Timothy 1:4, that word translated edifying is the same word that's translated dispensation. 1 Corinthians, we just read it. I'll just give you the verses. 1 Corinthians 9:17 and Ephesians 3:2. The King James translation is the authority here, and we gain understanding from it. And you can see its meaning when you think of dispensing in information. You think of it as adding to the understanding of the listener, edifying him. That's how the link there between edifying, why they can translate oikonomos to an unfamiliar word, but that's the one that's in there, edifying as well as to dispensing, or the dispensation of. So we'll get into the difference there in just a few minutes here. The context of the verses verify that when you examine what Paul commanded Timothy, charge some that they teach no other doctrine, Timothy was to keep those that he was teaching the same doctrine, not straying from it, but to edify, to pass out that information, dole it out, administer it to the listeners, dispense it. So when we read and study 1 Corinthians 9:17 and 18 about a dispensation of the gospel, and Ephesians 3:1-3 about the dispensation of the grace of God, that helps us understand that a dispensation includes the idea of teaching, edifying by dispensing information. So, but also that would dispel the idea that a dispensation is a thing. It's not a, not a creed. It's not a time period. It's not a code or a club to be in or to try to get in. No, that's not the idea of dispensation. A dispensation is a dispensing of something. It's a doling out of something identified. It administers something. A dispensing, when you're dispensing something, that dispensing is an action to give it out. That's an action word. A dispensation, however, is the fact that action is going on. Something is being dispensed. That's what makes it a dispensation of something. The word dispensing is a different tense of the same word dispensation. So, and in this case, it's a dispensing of whichever gospel is being referred to in the context, in 1 Corinthians 9 or in Ephesians 3. It can be the dispensing of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or it can be the dispensing of the gospel of the grace of God, as in Colossians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. Let's look at those verses. Chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, so there's their faith in him, and the love which you have to all the saints, verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Talking about the gospel, it says the gospel... verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you. Since the day you heard it, heard of it, that gospel, in other words, he's still talking about the gospel, and knew the grace of God in truth. What gospel was the grace of God in truth? The gospel of the grace of God. Same saving message, but it's then being sent to all people, all men. And you see that sending in... you see Christ telling Paul that he is going to, in the future from then, send him in Acts 22, verse 21. Actually, verse 17 to 21. Verse 17 makes a break. It starts talking about a later time in Jerusalem, not the time of Paul's salvation on the road to Damascus, like before verse 17. The Colossians statement of the gospel of salvation is a little bit more spread out, and it's detailed. Notice that the Colossians had faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, it says, faith in Christ Jesus, and that faith yielded the blessed hope in verse 5. Hope in their future in heaven, verse 5. So they had hope, having believed the word of the truth of the gospel, verse 5. The message of that gospel was the only word of salvation that Paul ever preached. It was the truth of the gospel which had come unto them as it had come to all the world by then. That gospel message brought forth fruit in them since they heard it and knew of it, that gospel message, the grace of God in truth, is the way it's stated in the verse there. Paul went on later in the chapter, to announce what happens to believers. A positional truth. What happens in this dispensing of the grace of God? Look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. And you can see that God dispenses into us a deposit of himself, Christ in you. And two verses earlier, verse 25, Paul tells, he calls that deposit the dispensation of God. That's Christ, being God, he's dispensed into each believer as Christ in you. It's a positional thing. That positional truth is confirmed in several other places in Paul's inspired writings. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Depending on the context, the preserving translators of the King James Pure Bible, I call them preserving because they weren't inspired of God to write Scripture, but God did use them, definitely did use them, in keeping His promise to preserve His Word. So those translators, in preserving the King James Bible, Pure Bible, they translated the word oikonomia as dispensation. And that was in the verses 1 Corinthians 9:17, Ephesians 1:10, Ephesians 3:2, and Colossians 1:25. That word is translated dispensation. It's also translated as stewardship in Luke 16, verses 2 to 4. And it's translated as edifying, as we saw in 1 Timothy 1:4. Well, chapter 1, verse 4. And by reference, in that same sentence, same section at least, in 1 Timothy 1:4, teaching, it's translated as teaching. It means the same thing. Paul was talking about edifying by teaching in 1 Timothy 1:3. In the Bible, the dispensation of the gospel is not a work. It's not the work. It's not a short work mentioned in prophecy and quoted by Paul. A dispensation of the gospel was part of the mystery of Christ. It's on the other side of things. It was not spoken of or written of or prophesied about before Acts 9. Not even in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A dispensation of the gospel was God's answer to His prophesied work that He said He would work, which they will not believe, though it be told you. A dispensation of the gospel ran parallel to a work, being during the same time period, but a dispensing of the gospel was in the administering of the body of Christ. Whereas a work, in quotes, meaning what was prophesied as a work, I will work a work among you, it was in Israel's law, prophecy, and kingdom writings, as also was the provoking of disbelieving Israel by the believing Jewish prophetic remnant, and also by the Greeks, who were not a people. Those two groups made up the people and the Gentiles to whom Christ sent Paul in Acts 9, according to Acts 26, verse 17. Let's read that. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Well, that was Paul reporting about his Acts 9 salvation experience. And now would have been Acts 9. He was sent in Acts 9 to those people and those Gentiles, the ones described in Romans 11:11, that would be able to be in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy. And the ones to whom Christ sent Paul to, he would have to deliver him from those people and those Gentiles in Acts 26, verse 17, at the beginning of the verse. The now, and the now I send thee, they refer back to Acts 9, at the salvation of Saul of Tarsus. In Acts chapter 20, verse 6, we see the beginning of the gospel that Philippians 4:15 and 16 refers to. and that Paul describes 18 verses later as the ministry I have received. Let's look at those verses, starting in Acts 20, verse 22, and we'll go through 24. And now, behold, I go in the bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So he had received this ministry in addition to the course that he had been on. And he was eager to fulfill it. So Ephesians 3, verse 2, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward. That's the gospel of the grace of God that he had received. So, well, let's go on. Now, with that understanding of what the two dispensations are that we've talked about and what their functions are, let's look at what Paul said about the gospel in a dispensation of the gospel, and then what he said about the gospel in the dispensation of the grace of God. Paul himself said that at least some of those for whom Christ died for the sins of were told about in the scriptures that had already been written, the scriptures of the prophets. For them, it was according to the scriptures that Christ died for their sins. But you'll see it was widened after that. Nobody knew it was going to be widened to include all men. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Paul received it. How that Christ died for our sins, meaning Paul's and those Jews and former Jews that he was speaking to there in Corinth, having just come out of the synagogue. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It was according to the scriptures that there would be Jews and those who are not a people, which matches the description of the Greeks, that would provoke Israel to jealousy. That's in, I should have put the verse in there, I think it's Deuteronomy 32, verse 20 and 21. And I think that reference is in there somewhere. Anyway, look at what was actually said in Isaiah 53. People look to that and they say, see, the crucifixion, death, burial, that was all included in the Old Testament. It's not a mystery. Well, that's not the mystery. No, that's true. It was in the Old Testament. The mystery is that in the Old Testament, it was to Israel only. And it was only announced that Christ died for Israel's sins. He was actually dying for ours too. But that's not announced in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or in the Old Testament. It's only announced when you get to Paul's salvation in Acts 9. You can't find our salvation or our gospel before Acts 9 in the Bible. So, Isaiah 53, we'll read verses 5 and 6, 10 and 11 to verify that Christ died for their sins. But he was wounded for our, that's Israel's, transgressions. He was bruised for our, that's Israel's, iniquities. Isaiah speaking here. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we, Israel, are healed. Verse 6, all we, Israel, all we like sheep, we're not sheep, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, not us Gentiles, us Israel all. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the, verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, many in Israel, yes, for he shall bear their iniquities, Israel's iniquities, in plural there. And so you can see over and over through there, Isaiah was prophesying about Israel and their Messiah coming and paying for their sins. It was never told or dreamed of that the filthy Gentiles would get in on that in any way, or would have it extended to them as a mystery, as a secret that God kept. But the Old Testament scriptures to Israel did not tell them how to appropriate that justification and quickening and salvation and forgiveness, how to benefit. You know, how to make their own these benefits, make these benefits their own, that come to them through the gospel of Christ. It had been a secret, kept a secret, due to their current law and the prophets and the gospel of the kingdom. Those were what was talked about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at Luke 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Now the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is preached. That kingdom that was coming, that God, Jesus was offering, or was preaching about, wasn't actually offered until he'd gone back to heaven after the crucifixion and resurrection. And Peter preached it a year later at Pentecost. So how to appropriate that? It doesn't say if you believe that Christ died for your sins, you are saved. No. It didn't say you will be saved if you believe that. That just wasn't part of the gospel or part of their information. But that's why God put in the first two verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 1 and 2 show our part in getting saved by God. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received. That's one thing you do. You receive it. It's not an action. It's a faith thing. Let me go into that later. But he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. There's a promise of salvation to those that receive the gospel to themselves. We'll hear the gospel in verses 3 and 4, but this is how to appropriate it. He says, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. In other words, you may have heard Peter preach in his gospel. That doesn't count. That doesn't count in the dispensation of the gospel. I'm dispensing the gospel to you Jews first. And he says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. But they do have to believe. That's what that receiving is. It's a belief, a faith. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2 tells how to be saved by the gospel of Christ in verses 3 and 4. We have to consciously reject our own religiously trying to be as good as God and replace it with our receiving of the free gift of God, eternal life, believing that all my sins were already died for once for all time by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And according to Paul, Christ died at least for those told about in the scriptures for Israel, but that does not rule us out. It doesn't eliminate us from the picture just because Israel had been told that their sins and iniquities, he would bear their iniquities, remember, in Isaiah 53:11. That doesn't rule us out. Just because the body of Christ was kept secret, kept a hidden secret, not told about before Christ's Acts 9 revelation to Paul. Later on, in Paul's ministry, after a while, not at the beginning, but later on, he called the gospel of salvation the same name that he called it earlier in his ministry. So compare these early and late verses to see that Paul knew it was the same gospel message during the dispensing of the grace of God as it had been during the dispensation of the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek earlier. So we'll look at the two verses in the early ministry of Paul that talk about my gospel, and then we'll see that it shows up, he calls it my gospel in the later verses, the later writings after he was sent to all people. Look at Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. According to my gospel. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you. In other words, to stabilize you, make you so you can't be knocked off your position. We would call it saved. But it goes beyond that. Establishing goes beyond that. It fulfills the will of God to that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So he says in verse 25 of Romans 16, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. That's the salvation part. And establish you, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. In other words, it's not the preaching of Jesus Christ according to prophecy, what was told about in the Old Testament, what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John reported, what the 12 apostles preached. It's not that. It's according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation or unveiling, the telling of the mystery, of the secret, the telling of the secret, which was kept secret since the world began. So that was all before Paul was actually sent to all people. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, he had been sent to all men. And he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So both the first two in Romans were both during a dispensation of the gospel when he called the gospel of Christ my gospel. But 2 Timothy 2 verse 8 was during the dispensation of the grace of God, like we're in today, when he called the gospel of the grace of God my gospel. But whether in the early dispensation or in the later dispensation, he referred to the same saving gospel message as my gospel. So even though it's not delineated in the same way in the prison epistles as it is in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, it's the same gospel that people were saved by. Another way to reveal that the gospel message that saves was the same during a dispensation of the gospel as it was later during the dispensation or dispensing of the gospel of the grace of God is by examining Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Ephesians 1:12 says that we, who's the we? Well, he tells us later on, we who first trusted in Christ. That was in Acts when Paul went to the Galatian, those churches in Acts 13 and 14, where he got stoned and he got back up and went into the city and preached to them. And it was those early churches there, as well as Thessalonica, Philippi, Corinth, and Ephesus, and other places. But he says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also, who's besides the we there that Paul went to early in his ministry? Well, he's talking in Ephesians. He's talking to people that got saved that had not blessed Israel, didn't care about Israel or God's promises to Israel, but they knew they needed a Savior, and they heard the gospel, and they believed it. after Paul was sent to all people. And by the way, after that Acts 20 meeting with the elders from Ephesus, and they went back and told him. That was immediately after he had been sent to all people. Anyway, some people think he was sent earlier, but the Lord didn't actually trigger it until Acts 20 verse 6, as told in Philippians 4:15, the beginning of the gospel. But he says about all of us now, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So they were sealed also. They heard the same gospel that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. So it shows that it's the same gospel, either before or after, after Paul was sent to all people. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted, tells the fact that both groups trusted in Christ for salvation. That's the words used there. First trusted in Christ. They both trusted in Christ. And finally, there are fragments and condensations of the gospel throughout Paul's writings, both in a dispensation of the gospel and in the dispensation of the grace of God. All these fragments contain parts of the gospel of salvation found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 6. And we'll read that. We're about to close here. I got a couple comments that I think we need to add that people don't usually think about, I think. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Verse 5, and that He was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Couple words to remember. The body of Christ began with Christ sending Paul with a dispensing or a dispensation of the gospel to the Jew first. And after that, Christ sent Paul with the dispensation of the grace of God to all men. But, by the way, the dispensation of the grace of God is not the last dispensing in the body of Christ. The dispensation of the grace of God will be followed up by the reward at the judgment seat of Christ. That's a dispensing of the reward for the work done. Final words, trust Christ. Trust Him to have provided your salvation, and that you can't do anything but wreck it if you try and add to it. Trust Him the way He supplied. His grace is sufficient for the task to save you. I'm done. And any questions?